Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you so much, Bill, who is a great personal friend, and to Debbie, and to all of the wonderful faculty and staff members here at CIU, to the students that are here, to the parents and family members that are here. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I said to someone earlier, I learned a lesson on being a commencement speaker at the time several years ago. The first commencement address I gave my good friend Robert was when my son at the time had just graduated from high school. And so I said to him, I said, DJ, I am doing a commencement address. Any suggestions? He said two. One, he says, do not be boring. Okay. Two, please do not be long. And he says, if you can't do the first, please do the second. Okay. So I hope to accomplish the second. Okay. Before I begin, I want to let you know what CIU means to me. You heard Dr. Jones said my father attended here. I first attended in the 80s. I withdrew from law school to come to be a student at CIU. And I remember real clearly my advisor at law school took me into his office and counseled me and recommended a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. This is a true story. And he says, you are withdrawing from law school, having done the first year, to go to a school off Monticello Road. It wasn't even called CIU at the time. I think it was Columbia College and Graduate School. And he said, why are you doing this? You are giving up a wonderful opportunity. I had the privilege of being recommended to law school by Governor Dick Riley at the time. And so he said to me that you need to take a couple of days off and examine. Here's the number of someone that I want you to go see, okay? Because obviously you are misguided and something is going wrong. And I never looked back. Drove down Monticello Road and enrolled at graduate school and just had perhaps one of the greatest experiences of my life. Sat under Dr. Herbert and Larkin and Hatch and McQuilkin and changed my life. Perhaps the greatest compliment was several years later, 15 or so years later, that same advisor, did not realize it, one day visited the church that I pastored, sat in the audience in the back. And after the service was over, he came to the front and I was surprised. And he says, I just want to let you know that you made the right decision. I can't tell you what that meant to me, for him to say, you made the right decision. He says, the world already has too many lawyers. They need preachers like you. So I am so happy to be here and so indebted to CIU and all of its faculty members that touched my life and meant so much to me. Well, in order to accomplish the second thing my son said, I need to share with you this thought that God has given me for this time. There is a wonderful passage of scripture that is found in the gospel that has been recorded by St. Matthew, chapter 5, and verses 14, 15, and 16. And it reads from the New American Standard Bible, it reads, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And this is the verse that means so much. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Being a pastor and a preacher, I am used to taking a subject, so I want to share with you the subject that God has given me for this occasion, entitled, It's Time to Shine. It's time to shine. We are living in what has often been described as some very challenging times, some very difficult times, uneasy times, particularly for those of us who are believers. Someone said to me a couple weeks ago that they are not sure if these may be the most challenging times they have ever seen. This was a minister who had been ministering for over 50 years. Let me share a couple of things with you, and perhaps you can understand why we say this. On March 21st of this year, NBC News reported on a recent study that claims fewer Americans say they believe in God or pray regularly, yet more people said that they believe in the afterlife. More and more people are believing in the afterlife, but fewer people are saying that they believe in God and pray regularly. These are challenging times. The study also concluded that the large declines in religious practice among young adults are also further evidence that the millennials are, quote, the least religious generation in memory and possibly in American history. These are challenging times. Another research project in 2015, Pew Research report entitled Americans Changing Religious Landscape states that the United States of America is significantly less Christian today than it has ever been before. These are challenging times. That Pew study also reports that, listen to this, atheists and agnostics have nearly doubled their share in what Pew calls the religious marketplace at a number that has never been seen before. The study goes on to say, and a friend of mine works for Pew, and I often get a chance to talk with her about this, says that overall indifference to religion is rising at a rate that they've never seen before. These are challenging times in which those of us who are believers and faith walkers, our faith is being challenged. They are challenging us as not being tolerant enough to understand that everyone may not embrace our faith. In fact, I read something, Dr. Jones, that actually almost blew my mind when I saw the headline. It was dated just a week or so ago, November the 30th of this year to be exact. This headline appeared in several newspapers all across the country, and it read, and I quote, "Religion feels like a drug to our brain," the study says. The study goes on to say that the great philosopher perhaps was right. Religion perhaps is the opium of the people. It feels like a drug to our... Imagine some young person reading this. Imagine someone who wants to attack our faith. They've been given ammunition like they've never received before. It's a drug. It's something that impacts you that is not natural. We are living in challenging times, but at the same time, there are more houses of worship than ever before. You cannot ride down a street and see them every block on every street. There are more people who are calling themselves ministers and preachers and pastors than ever before. And it makes you wonder, how does all of this come together? How are we becoming more secular? How are we becoming less as it relates to our faith, but yet more places of worship? It makes you wonder, what is the agenda of the modern day church and the agenda of the modern day minister? Perhaps it explains why our country is in the shape that is in today. And you can feel my burden that's on my heart when I see every day, be it at the state capitol or everywhere else, our faith is under attack. We are living in a time in which we must work like we've never worked before. What all of this suggests to me is that it is time for us as believers. It is time for us as faith walkers now more than ever to let our light shine in a dark world, and especially perhaps in this place we call home, the United States of America. An old lady said to me years ago, she said, "Son, light among light doesn't stand out much. But light in darkness, even in a small corner, can be seen all over the world and all in the room." And so what God has said to me has challenged me as a pastor, as a minister, as a person of faith. He says it's time not to have show-off church, but it's time to have real faith walkers who embrace the challenge. This is not building bigger buildings. This is not about who becomes the largest congregation. This is not about who preaches to more people on Sunday mornings. This is really about changing people's lives. God said to me, and I say to you, it's time to shine. In this wonderful text, this powerful discourse, there are three truths that stand out in this text that I'll share with you before I take my seat. Truth number one is this: we as believers are the light of the world. We are the hope of this world. Not Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton, not Congress, not the legislature at the state capitol, not Senator Jackson, but perhaps Pastor Jackson. We are the light of this world. We are the hope of this world. I've been around long enough in politics to have never been able to witness one politician that have done anything that have saved a soul, but you can, and others do every day. And so what God said is perhaps we need to take some people off the pedestal. We need to stop idolizing people in politics and sports figures and others. And we need to encourage men and women of God and young people like you and others who are getting their degrees that you are the real superstars. If this world is ever going to be better, LeBron James will not make it better. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Governor Nikki Haley, any of my colleagues cannot, it doesn't get better with a new politician. It gets better when believers shine their light in a dark place. So we are the hope of a better world. Second truth that I would like to point out that's found in this text is that it is our responsibility to shine. God does not make us shine. The text says, "Let your light shine." We must let it shine. We must allow it to shine. If you're waiting on somebody to cut on your light so that it can shine, it would never happen. This is a light switch that you must cut on for yourself. If you're waiting on someone to give you what is necessary and says, now go ahead and shine in a dark world, it will not happen. And I often wondered why the text says let. It is because there are people who perhaps are not in a position to want their light to shine. Perhaps they're not proud of the example that will illuminate from their life if it does shine. So in letting our light shine, we must allow our life to be an example. Yes, we're living in a dark world. Yes, we must take the responsibility to let our light shine. And the third and final truth that I find in this wonderful text is that the purpose of us shining is not for us to receive any recognition, not for us to receive any credit, not for us to receive any praise, but that God would get the glory and that many lives would be transformed by the power of salvation through Jesus Christ. The purpose of shining our light is not so someone can say you are wonderful and your light shines brighter than any other light. Purpose for shining our light is not so someone can give us a program, someone can pat us on the back, but so that God can get the glory. I leave you with a wonderful quote that my dad gave me 20 years ago. He transitioned out from being the senior pastor, and I was a young man. My wife and I were becoming the pastor of this congregation, shaking in my shoes. Knowing Dad, I'm not sure if I want to do this. I kind of was planning my life as a politician. But God says, I have another plan for you. And so my dad, who had had two strokes and was in a wheelchair, he was sitting there, and I said, give me some words of wisdom. And he said, son, I'm not going to just leave you with the sermons I've done, although you know where to find them if you need them. But I'll leave you with these words, and these are the words that I would leave you as you prepare to walk across the stage. Dad says, if you do not care who gets the credit, God will always get the glory. And it changed my life. He says, as a pastor, if you're not obsessed about getting the credit, when the church does well, God will get the glory. When you're not obsessed about taking on all of the praise for any good things that happen within this ministry or within your life, God will always get the glory. And so 20 years later, I say to you, it is time to shine. But as you shine, always make sure that God gets the glory. And when God gets the glory, we all win. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for the honor.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.